Hello today, as we're thinking thoughts of moving towards spring. This is Pat reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, March the 13th. And on the front page, America 250 at the Homestead. Residents invited to become sponsors of a year-long museum event. Clinton, the DeWitt County Museum Association announces the C.H. Moore Homestead and DeWitt County Museum will honor our nation's 250th anniversary with a special year-long series of special programs and events under the banner America 250 at the Homestead, celebrating 250 years of American history. This milestone offers a rare opportunity to reflect on our nation's history, celebrate our community, and create meaningful experiences for visitors of all ages. To mark this historic year, the museum will host a variety of events, including special presentations, live musical entertainment, an old-fashioned ice cream social, a summer afternoon of horse-drawn carriage rides, a winter evening of carriage rides, a patriotic-themed quilt show, an author's book signing, patriotic-themed holiday candlelight tours, an all-American antique tractor and car show, and additional programs currently in development. Each event is designed to bring people together, highlight our heritage, and welcome our county residents and out-of-town guests to the museum. The association invites individuals, families, businesses, and organizations to join them in this celebration by becoming sponsors of the American 250 at the Homestead. A sponsorship contribution of $250 in honor of the 250-year milestone will directly support these special events and help ensure that this anniversary is memorable and meaningful. In appreciation of their support, sponsors will receive recognition on the museum's social media platforms, in media releases, and on the museum's website. Additionally, sponsor names will be displayed on signage at the highly visible four-way stop at Center and Woodlawn Streets from spring 2026 through the end of the year. Contributions in any amount will be welcomed throughout this year. However, to become a sponsor recognized as described above, please submit $250 to the museum no later than April the 15th. For more information about becoming an America 250 at the Homestead sponsor, contact the museum at 217-935-6066 or send an email to chmoore.homestead@gmail.com. That information again is phone 217-935-6066 or email chmoore.homestead@gmail.com. For information about the numerous events planned for this year, continue to look for announcements on the museum website. And another front page story, the role of board committees question in solar energy ordinance discussions. Gordon Woods reporting. On Monday, County Land Use Committee members continued their discussion about the county's solar energy ordinance from their February meeting. Committee Chairman Buck Carter offered a motion to remove zoning classifications R1 and R2 from the solar ordinance and forward changes to the ordinance to the Zoning Board of Appeals, the ZBA. And then bring them back to the board, Carter said. Board Chairman and Land Use Committee member Joe Witt pointed out the full county board approved the Land Use Committee to review the solar ordinances to ensure it complied with the state statute. State statute prohibits local ordinances covering solar energy facilities from being more restrictive than the state code. So, you're making a motion to now send those to ZBA as a text amendment And there are three parties that can initiate a text amendment: the RPC, the county board, not a committee. And I think the public can if they pay for it, Witt said. So I don't think it's proper for the land use committee to initiate that without first taking it to the board. Witt said he was opposed to the proposed action because discussion already had taken place at the committee level about zoning classifications as they pertain to solar energy ordinance. And those had gone through the committee, and they came with their recommendations and took a vote on it, Witt said. Nothing that I am aware of has changed outside of the statute, and we're dealing with that tonight. Witt said nothing was different that would have changed the evidence presented before the ZBA to make a different recommendation. And I think it's a waste of taxpayer dollars to go through these hearings every couple of years just because the way the vote went the first time we didn't like, Witt said. If there's new evidence, I guess that's something we could take to the full board. Witt said he felt that there was member burnout in the RPC and the ZBA. He said if the RPC felt changes were needed, they could initiate that. The Regional Planning Commission, RPC, is taxed with forecasting and planning how land development in the county is guided and planned for. Witt didn't feel it was an appropriate task for a county board meeting. If it's something we want to start, we should start it at the board level, he said. Carter withdrew his motion in favor of presenting the idea before the full county board. Final front page story. Responding to federal threat, legislation would protect Illinois waterways, by Gabrielle Castillo and Medill, Illinois News Bureau, Capital City News, Illinois. Springfield. As the Trump administration moves to slash federal protections for waterways and wetlands, Illinois Democratic lawmakers and environmental advocates are racing to finally pass a measure that would enact state safeguards. The Wetlands Protection Act was discussed in both chambers of the Illinois General Assembly last year, but failed to get traction or make it to the House and Senate floors, partly due to the budget constraints in the 2025 budget year. I hope things will turn around, said Representative Anna Mueller, Democrat of Elgin. It's just really important for our ecosystem, for flood control, for water control, for water quality. A proposal from the Trump administration adds urgency to the long-standing issue in Illinois. Last November, the federal EPA proposed a new rule to the Clean Water Act that would bestow protection only to wetlands that hold water during the wet season and with visible connections to major waterways. Excluded are seasonal streams, marshes, bogs, swamps, and mangrove forests. Seasonal streams are those wetlands that dry up during certain times of the year. In a statement outlining the rule changes last year, the EPA said it wanted to cut the red tape and provide predictability, consistency, and clarity for the American industry, energy producers, the technology sector, farmers, ranchers, developments, businesses, and landowners. Currently, developers must obtain a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers before building over a wetland to ensure environmentally responsible practices. If the EPA rule change is finalized this year, over two-thirds, 707,566 acres of Illinois wetlands would be without protections, according to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign study released in September. Neighboring states like Wisconsin, Missouri, and Indiana already have safeguards in place to protect their wetlands, but Illinois does not. We need to do something. 90% of our wetlands have already been destroyed in Illinois, Mueller said, and we need to protect the remaining 10%. Senate Bill 2401 would give the Illinois Department of Natural Resources authority over wetland permitting on private land before construction begins. The bill exempts certain agricultural activities like normal farming and maintenance of farms and stock ponds. The bill was re-referred for assignment at the end of the last session, and no action has been taken on it this session. Senator Laura Ellman, Democrat of Naperville, who sponsored the bill, said she is hopeful this will be the year the State Wetlands Protection Act becomes law. We had tough budget years, which in short means other topics receive great priority, Ellman said in an email statement. I believe that as we continue to lay out the case for Senate Bill 2401 and other environmental-related legislation, the push to take action now is stronger than ever. As you know, actions speak louder than words. Does the bill have the governor's support? Still, Democrats supporting the bill faced opposition from some Republicans, the Illinois Farm Bureau, as well as a question mark surrounding support from Governor J.B. Pritzker. A spokesman for Pritzker wrote, "The governor's office will monitor and review legislation as it moves through the General Assembly. Any legislation that requires additional state resources will be carefully reviewed with budgeters to understand the fiscal impact. Without support from the governor and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, passage of the bill through the two Democrat-led chambers might be difficult," supporters of the bill said. I think our thought is, frankly, if the governor and the IDNR would come out as supporting this, it would be much easier sell to the legislature, said Brian Gill, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Policy for the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, one of the organizations supporting the bill. The Shedd Aquarium, despite its tourist side, works with international, national, and local organizations with efforts to promote the protection of waterways, wetlands, and wildlife. With the dynamics of consistently tight budgets in Springfield in mind, the Shedd changed its strategy in the state capitol recently. "We last year flipped from pointing at the General Assembly to asking Governor Pritzker to take a leadership role in this," Gill said. "I think those of us that support this certainly would support more budget for IDNR to also handle this. But that is the bigger concern, the budget and resources." Mueller conceded the law might require additional resources from the state. "I don't think the Department of Natural Resources is against this legislation, but I think we are working with them to make sure that they can implement the regulation with everything else that they are charged with doing." Elsewhere, opposition to the bill centers around the added restrictions to landowners and the potential impact on economic growth and development in rural Illinois. In addition to the farming groups, last year the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association weighed in as opposing it. When asked whether their position remains the same this year, an IFCA spokesperson said, "We are monitoring the wetlands bill and other bills of general interest to the ag industry as a whole." Senator Jason Plummer, a Republican of Edwardsville, has opposed the bill since 2024. On his official website, he said the bill would have a massive negative impact on farmers, the construction industry, anyone looking to build a home, and all private property owners. This legislation is absurd, and if it becomes law, it will just be one more reason that people choose not to build a home or start a business in Illinois," he is quoted as saying on the website. What about the Swamp Buster Act? Sanjay Soffit, Director of Environmental Policy at Illinois Farm Bureau, said there are already effective government programs in place to protect wetlands. He cited the Federal Swamp Buster Act, which discourages farmers from turning wetlands into cropland since 1985. Under the federal law, any farmer who drains a wetland on their property is ineligible for federal benefits such as subsidies, loans, and insurance. According to the environmental advocacy organization, Food and Water Watch, the program currently protects approximately 78 million acres of wetlands, almost two-thirds of the wetlands left in the continental United States. The burden is you are doubly regulating the same entity that is already regulated on the swamp buster, he said. However, Tucker Berry, Communications Director for Illinois Environmental Council, said the Swamp Buster Act does not address the legal protections gap that would arise if the new EPA rules were to be finalized. While the Swamp Buster rewards farmers' compliance if they do not convert wetlands, it does not define what a wetland is. Instead, it uses a CW definition of wetlands as navigable waters. Berry argued that not all farmers are against wetlands protection. Many farmers understand that the bill is reasonable and offers vital protection to help them protect their land from flooding, poor water quality, and soil health problems, Berry said. Part of the public outreach aspect of the wetlands protection involves engaging communities with the parks that neighbor their residents. Here is an example of a community engagement program held by the Ford Environmental Center, which has classroom spaces open to school and the community groups. Environmental conservation advocates, like the Environmental Council, the Wetlands Initiative, and the Shed, have been working to lobby for wetland-friend policies from Springfield for a long time, while maintaining restoration projects of their own. Some counties in Illinois, meanwhile, have stepped up to fill the lack of farm state policy. DuPage County requires additional documentation for activities that disturb the ground, removes vegetation, builds unpermitted structures, or any activity that affects the flow or absorption of water. Elman, who represents the county, sees her bill as an extension of those kinds of efforts. As these are wetlands protections already in place for DuPage County, I am thinking beyond the scope of the Senate District 21 in terms of how important this matter is, Elman said. By enforcing these protections now, we are protecting our state's ecosystem and more. Gabrielle Castillo is a graduate student in journalism in Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, Medium and Integrated Marketing Communications, and is a fellow in its Medill, Illinois News Bureau, working in partnership with Capital News Illinois. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. And from the op-ed page today, a column on Point by Richard Koritz, Rural Fire Departments and Fundraiser. I haven't been to the annual Wapella Fire Department chili and oyster soup raiser for some time, and I saw their sign on US 51 in Wapella a week ago. Saturday afternoon, after my wife finished up her task at the quilt show at the Little Galilee, we went to Wapella. After attending, I was asking myself why I had missed the past couple of years. The chili and oyster soup supper defines what rural America is all about. The Wapella Fire Department is what is commonly known as a volunteer fire department. There are no full-time employees. The firefighters have jobs, which they have to leave when their pagers go off, alerting them to a fire in the community. They have to drop everything and go to the fire station, get their safety equipment, and start their trucks before they can get to the fire or other emergency. Is Wapella's response time as fast as Bloomington or Lincoln? The simple answer is no. These departments have full-time staff on duty 24/7 every day of the year. Simple economics dictates that rural departments simply do not have the resources to fund that type of coverage. Rural fire departments exist because they have volunteers who rise to the occasion to serve their community. These volunteer men and women certainly are not rushing to a fire scene as a paid employee. They are rushing as a sense of service to their communities. For that alone, they need to be commended and recognized. Unfortunately, most of the community doesn't even know who these gallant people are. That chili supper was a time for the community to meet its defenders and say thank you. Sure, a few dollars were raised, and some additional personal equipment can be purchased, but the real value was getting to meet those who serve the community and simply say thank you for your time and efforts on behalf of all of us. The fire department had a fire engine on the street with all of its lights flashing. Every kid that was there loves to see a fire truck and with its lights flashing, and they were not disappointed. Old fat guys like me got a fine supper. Mama didn't have to clean the dishes. A reverse raffle kept many attendees busy and added to the fundraising. The event was simplicity at its finest, which is the reason most of us like our lives in rural DeWitt County. Thank you to the Wapella Fire Department for a great meal and, more importantly, for your service to the community. That thank you should also include the rest of the rural fire departments in DeWitt County and this country. Wapella gets the prime spot this week because they fed me, and I have a soft spot for whoever gives me a good meal. And further, planning. Two of the pillars of DeWitt County economics are the power plant and the landfill. Literally, nukes and garbage have funded much of DeWitt County's expenditures for the past 50 years. That situation has been largely beneficial for all. Wind turbines then came into the mix, and that has been a double-edged sword. There is a tax revenue, but also loss of prime farmland and safety issues with the towers themselves. It appears that the state is imposing its will on the wind turbine issue, and the local say is being minimized. All this leads us to the big new issue in zoning. Data centers. In Logan County, there is a push to put a data center inside the boundaries of the Mount Pulaski School District. The school district appears to want the data center to be constructed because of the economic benefits for the district. Others are dissuaded, stating the loss of prime farmland and other environmental issues. The data center issue is now before DeWitt County Board. There are valid reasons both for and against allowing data centers to be constructed in the county. And if constructed, what are the limits or restrictions on the facility? This is an issue you may want to contact your county board member on or provide your input. The primary election is March the 17th. Please vote for the candidate of your choice. Richard Corrix is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. We have one obituary this morning. Cheryl Swearingen, that last name is spelled S-W-E-A-R-I-N-G-N. Cheryl Swearingen, 79, of Clinton, a resident of Goldwater Estates, died on February the 28th in Springfield at Springfield Memorial Hospital. There was a celebration of life on March 11th at 11 a.m. at the American Legion in Clinton. This morning on the editorial page, we have letters to the editor for election support. Supporting Harris for County Clerk and Recorder. As a former County Clerk and Recorder, I've had the opportunity to work with and supervise both candidates running for County Clerk and Recorder. Because of that, I have seen firsthand how each how each of them approaches their work and their responsibility. Carrie Harris has always been someone who takes her work seriously and understands how important it is to serve with professionalism, accuracy, and integrity. Carrie has also shown dedication and pride in her work. She's organized, professional, and committed to serving our community the right way. DeWitt County deserves someone who will work hard every day and take the responsibility of the job seriously. She has the work ethic, integrity, honesty, and commitment to our county deserves. Vote to re-elect Carrie L. Harris, County Clerk and Recorder. Sincerely, Dana Smith, retired 2022 DeWitt County Clerk and Recorder. And a second letter. Proudly support Alsup for County Clerk. I write this letter in support of Brandy Alsup for the DeWitt County Clerk. I have had the pleasure of working with several past county clerks as well as the current clerk. DeWitt County is lucky to have such a streak of competent persons in this office. Over the past few years, I have worked very closely with Brandy Alsup on a number of cases, with common deed filings to very complicated tax levy issues. She is very professional and very knowledgeable. For that matter, most of the last several employees hired by the current clerk have been quick learners who all learned a great deal about the intricacies and various jobs of the clerk's office. This is a positive for the incumbent. She hires solid employees. My firm handles a great deal of cases in DeWitt, many of which require filings and interactions with the county clerk. Brandy Alsup was the best help I've had from that office over the past few years, but all the deputies are very helpful. The current clerk has good experience, and I have heard various sides of the current ethical investigations that I will not comment on further. Every citizen should do their own investigation and come to their own conclusion. Regardless of the outcome of the ethic concerns, the reason I support Brandy Alsup is because she is in the office day in, day out. She was in the office almost always when me or my staff were there. The current clerk was not, taking most Fridays off, leaving before the office closed, and coming in after opening hours. In fairness, county office holders do not have to be in the office per statute. In larger counties, this is more common. But in smaller counties with fewer monies and fewer employees, clerks, in my opinion, should be more present in the office for a myriad of reasons. This race is one where both the incumbent and the new opponent have good qualities. Both candidates are knowledgeable. Because of her work ethic and presence at the job, I support Brandy Alsup for DeWitt County Clerk. Sincerely, Kevin Hammer of Clinton. From around Illinois, Illinois Quick Hits, the Center Square News. The average Illinois gas price climbs over $3.50 a gallon. According to AAA, the average Illinois gas price for regular unleaded gas has gone over $3.50 per gallon. The national average on Monday was $3.47, but Illinois' average price rose to $3.52, more than 46 cents higher than it was 1 week earlier. Cook County's per gallon average on Monday was $3.74. IDNR seeks fishing instructors. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is accepting applications for 2026 summer fishing clinic instructors for the department's urban fishing program. More information about the temporary positions, qualifications, and how to apply can be found online. The Illinois Urban Fishing Program was established in 1985. Today might be a good day to go fishing. If that's what you enjoy, please go. I will be back with you next week. Enjoy your day.